Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this beautiful morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful morning. Temperature is about 45, so it's a great morning.
That's not too bad. 45 is not too bad. Well, I sent you pictures of the sunset last night. Weren't they gorgeous?
My gosh, it's just like a postcard. I think I'm going to have made into a postcard. It was so beautiful. Absolutely God.
When I saw it, I said, oh, my, I got to take this picture. I took a couple different ones, and I said, I have got to send this to Mother Valerie because I know you would appreciate it. Everybody don't appreciate pictures like you and I do, but I thought, oh, my God, it's so beautiful, Lord. You know, to the tapestry that God gives us, his heavenly, I call it his heavenly postcard. It was just beautiful.
I mean, just absolutely beautiful.
Oh, wow. And had all like the orange and the red and a little bit of yellow. It was just beautiful. And you know, we don't feel good. Yeah. Something like that's like, wow. It makes you appreciate
it was so,
the blessing
it was,
of the Lord.
Amen. It was just God. Absolutely God.
Amen. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it and liked them. You know, I sent you, I think, four different pictures, but I'm grateful that you were like me and you saw the magnificence of the Lord in them. But I'm going to turn it over to you this morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much again for your prayers on yesterday, because I did need them. I did go to the doctor, praise the Lord, thanking the Lord. I'm feeling better. My temperature went down, and I'm almost normal again. Thank you. But I am resting today. I was taking off work, so I will not be going to work today, but we still will be finishing on time. But I have to be careful doing a lot of talking. Right now, I have to talk as little as possible. So I'm giving it back over to Mother Valerie for this Old Testament Old Testament Friday. And we will be in the book of Hosea. And we'll be in Hosea starting in chapter 7 all the way up to chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and I believe we will be in Hosea chapter 12. But I'm double-checking myself. And still cannot believe it is. We're on the 8th day of December. That is why I have to be careful. 7, 8.
Amen.
9, 10.
Amen.
Making sure it's all the way to Hosea. Yep, all the way to 12. So we'll be in Hosea starting at chapter 7, going into chapter 12. God willing, I'll be back to read to you in chapter 11 and 12, if my voice permits and God permits. But I know Mother Valerie will take us to the throne. So Mother Valerie, take us to the throne with prayer this morning as we move forward in God's word.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, saints of God, people of God. Lord, I thank and praise you for who you are. I thank and praise you for another day, for you have did it again. The sunrise was beautiful, but the sunset, God, that's you. I mean, I can just see your handprint. Lord, we just thank you for blessing Pastor Bridget, healing her body, allowing her to do the things that she needs to do. And this is a day of rest. You're sitting her down so that she can rest. And we thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming out of Hosea chapter 7. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they have committed fraud. A thief comes in, a band of robbers takes spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. They are all adulterers. Like an oven heated by a baker, he sees stirring the fire after kneading the dough until it is leavened. In the day of our king, princes have made him sick, inflamed with wine, stretched out his hand with scoffers. They prepare their heart like an oven while they lie in wait. The baker sleeps all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. They are all hot like an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings have fallen. None among them calls upon me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, great hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God. None seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly doe without sense. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I'll spread my nets on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chasten them according to what their congregation has heard. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeem them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They assembled together for grain and new wine. They rebelled against me. Woe to anybody that rebels against God. It's a sad thing to rebel against God. Though I discipline and strengthen their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. The princes shall fall by the sword for the cursing of their tongue. This shall be their delusion in the land of Egypt. Chapter 8. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He should come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. They set up kings, but not by me. They make princes, but I did not acknowledge them. For their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. Your calf is rejected, O Samaria. My anger is aroused against them. How long until they attain to innocence? Far from Israel is even this. A workman made it, and it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It should never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now they are among the Gentiles, like a vessel in which is no pleasure. For they have gone up to Assyria, like a wild donkey, alone by itself. Ephraim has hired lovers. Yes, they have hired among the nations. Now I will gather them, and they shall sorrow a little, because of the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim has made many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. For the sacrifices of my offerings, they sacrifice lust and eat it. But the Lord does not accept them, nor will he remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Then they shall return to Egypt. For Israel has forgotten his maker. and has built temples. Judah also has multiplied fortified cities. For Israel, Israel has forgotten his maker. But I will send fire upon his cities, and he shall devour his palaces. Boy, it's a horrible thing when you forget your maker. Hosea 9 and 1. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other people, for you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every thrashing floor. The thrashing floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt and shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, nor shall their sacrifice be pleasing to him. It shall be like bread of mourners to them. All who eat it shall be defiled, for the bread shall be for their own life. Shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the appointed day, in the day of the feast of the Lord? For indeed they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. Nettles shall possess their valuables of silver. Thorns shall be in their tents. The days of punishment have come. The days of punishment have come. The days of recompense have come. Israel knows. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is insane because of the greatness of your iniquity and great enmity. The watchman of Ephraim is with my God. But the prophet is in a fallen snare in all his ways. They are deeply corrupted, as in the days of Gibeon. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers and the first fruit on the fig trees in its first season. But they went to Baal-Peor and separated themselves to that stain. They become an abomination like the thing they love. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Though they bring up their children, yet I will berate them to the last man. Yes, woe to them when I depart from them. Just as I saw Ephraim, like Tyre, planted in a pleasant place, so Ephraim will bring out his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilead, for there I hated them because of the evil of their deeds. I will drive them from my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebellious. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yes, were there to bear children, I would kill the darlings of their womb. My God would cast them away because they did not obey him. And they shall be wandering among the nations. We need to obey God. That's all we ask. God is good all the time, and his mercy endures forever. All we have to do is obey God. Then my God will cast them away because they did not obey him, and they shall be wanderers among the nation. Chapter 10. Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars according to the bounty of his land. Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars. He will ruin the sacred pillars. For now they say, we have no king because we did not fear the Lord. And as for a king, what would he do for us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springs up like hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria fear because of the calf of Abel-Zebub, for its peoples mourn for it, and its priests sing for it, because its glory has departed from it. The idol also shall be carried to Assyria as a present for King Darius. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off like a twig on the water. Also, the high places of Abram, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and thistle shall grow on their altars. They shall come to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeon. There they stood, the battle in Gibeon against the children of iniquity. Do not overtake them. Where is it my desire I will chasten them? People shall be gathered against them when I bind them for their two transgressions. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh grain, but I have razed her fur neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his clogs. Fall for yourself righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallen ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes with rain, righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way. We should never trust in our own way. We should trust in God. It said, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men, therefore, trouble shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be plundered. As Salmon plundered Beth El in the day of battle, a mother dashed in pieces upon her children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be cut off utterly. Utterly. You shall be utterly cut off. Chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carve images. I told Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse. They refuse to repent, and the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them because of their own counsel. My people are bent on backsliding. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Amah? How can I set you like Zebulun? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion when he roars. Then his sons shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria. And I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One who is faithful. Wow. God is good. He's good all the time. He is good. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. And when he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. My God. God said, and I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord, even with the Holy One who is faithful. God is good, but God also gives judgment. And we just have to be careful. We have to know that we are serving God, And we have to obey. That's all he wants us to do is be obedient, to obey him. Obey the Lord. Be obedient. Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind. He daily increased lies and desolation. Also, they make a covenant with the Assyrians, and all is carried to Egypt. The Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial name. So you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. A cunning Canaanite, deceitful scales are in his hand. He loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself in all my labors. They should find in me no iniquity that is sin. But I am the Lord your God, ever since the land of Egypt. I will again make you dwell in tents in the days of the appointed season. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Though Gilead had idols, surely they are vanity. Though they sacrifice bull in Gilead, indeed their altars shall be heaps in the pharaohs of the fields. Jacob fled to the country of Syria. Israel served for a spouse, and for a wife he tended sheep. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore, his Lord will leave the guilt of his bloodshed upon him and return his approach upon him. God will turn his approach upon him. My God, my God, my God will return his approach on him. God is good, and he's good all the time. All God wants us to do is to obey him, and that's what we should do, because we are children of the Most High God. Hosea chapter 13. Pastor Bridget, are you there?
Yes, no, we don't go as far as 13. We're actually finished with the Old Testament word, but this morning we're going to be a little bit different. We're going to actually go into our psalm this morning, and we are going to go with our psalm for today. And our psalm for this morning is the 139th psalm, verses 7 through 12. And it says, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If
Amen.
I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely, excuse me, the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Wow, what a beautiful word. Verses 13 through 16 of the 139th Psalm. So you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being steps unformed, and in your book there were all written a day's fashion for me, when as yet there were none of them. Can we say beautiful? Verses 17 and 24. Excuse me, Mother. Would you go ahead and take over? 139 Psalm, verses 17 through 14.
Psalms 139, 17 to 24. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hates you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is so beautiful. It said, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? I hate them who hate you. And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. If they are an enemy of God, then they are our enemies, because we are the children of the Most High God. And he said, I hate them with perfect hatred. We should hate what God hates, and we should love what God loves. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart. God knows your heart. But he was asking God, search me. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. It sounds like Solomon. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. When we do something wrong, that's all we have to do is repent. Repent. Create in me, O God, a new heart and renew a right spirit. Because a lot of times we don't think right. A lot of times we don't say the right thing. We don't think right. And sometimes we don't do right. But all we have to do, God is Abba, he's our Father. All we have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to think the right things. Help me to do the right thing. Do the right thing. There was a song called Do the Right Thing. Help me, Father, because I want in the end for you to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know we're striving. We're striving to see our Lord, and in the end, we want to have him to say, well done. Well done. Proverbs 29 and 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Wow. You know what? God will forgive you of anything that you do. If you ask him, all you have to do is ask God to forgive you, and he will forgive you. God is Father. And, you know, we have our own children, and when our own children do wrong, we give them a spanking, we chastise them, we spank them, and then we let them know that we love them, and we do love them. I'm going to read Psalms 1:4. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil.
Just a moment, Mother Valerie, just a minute.
Okay.
Going back to the 29th Psalm, I mean Proverbs 29. When we go to verse 20, it says, do you see a man hasty in his words? We got to be very careful not to go overboard and just talk, talk, talk. We got to bring it down and not be hasty to speak. But it says, be slow to speak. We got to be slow to speak, because you never know what's going to come out. And we have to understand that when we do that, we have to think on God, think on things that are of heaven, And it says, and he will pamper his servant from childhood to have him as a son in the end. And that's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 21. Mother read verse 22. And that is our Old Testament. But, you know, in the life lessons, Mother, did you read your Hosea life lessons? Because there's some good stuff in the life lessons as well. You know, when we go into chapter 7, verse 14, it says they did not cry out to me with a heart when they wailed upon the bed. And, you know, and I when I read that, I thought about, you know, how you feel when you just don't feel good. It says affliction does
Amen.
Not necessarily bring us back to the Lord. It depends on what we do with it. Affliction is an invitation to repentance, not repentance itself. A cry of anguish is not the same as a cry for mercy. The Lord invites us to come to him in prayer and at time of the day for any reason, with any problem, our challenge, our request. What keeps us from taking them up on this open end offer? And it told us
Amen.
In verse number 7 of chapter 8, they sow the wild wind and reap the whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do we immediately suffer the consequences of our foolish actions. But we do reap what we sow, much more than we sow, and later than we sow. And that is something
Amen.
True. You never know when people are telling you, well, don't do this or don't do that. But your heart is saying, do what you need to do. And you follow after what people say and not what your heart says, which is God. You wind up in a situation that you wouldn't be in. You wind up where you wouldn't be had you just listened to God.
Amen.
And the word that God gave us for this morning is God loves us through our good and bad. He gave us his son. And I called my son out of Egypt. And if we go into our New Testament words, Jesus was called from Egypt. His family left and ran to Egypt because they were being honored by us. Because he came in and killed all the children. He killed all the baby boys, just like Pharaoh did in the time of Moses. But an angel of the Lord came and told Joseph to take his family to Egypt. And so they went to Egypt and were in Egypt. They were in Egypt until he was 12 years old and brought him back. And then he wound up in the temple preaching the word to the elders. He was about his father's business. He called his son out of Egypt. He
Amen.
Gave us his son. You know, as we go into this season, we're in this Advent season. And we got enough. We got to understand that God is in charge. Mother Valerie, I got to turn it back over to you. And again,
Amen.
Family, thank you so
I
much.
Want to read
Mother
life.
Valerie is
Amen.
Coming over some life
Amen.
Lessons.
Amen.
But
I'll read life lessons in Hosea 9 and 5. Life
thank
lesson. What will you do in the appointed day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? He's asking, what will you do? Never mistake the Lord's great patience for acceptance of evil. When we knowingly step out of his will, he gives us chance after chance to turn back to him. But if we never turn back, that road will eventually end. So what would you do in the appointed day, in the day of the feast of the Lord? Lord gives you chance after chance after chance after chance. As long as you're living, and as long as you're breathing, even when you fall, a righteous man falls down 7 times and get up again. He gives you chance after chance after chance to return back to him. All you got to do is repent and say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, Father. And like it says, but if we never turn back, the road will eventually end. We have to turn back to God. We have to. I mean, because we are the children of the Most High God. We're living for God. He gives you chance after chance to turn back to him. Life lesson, Hosea 9:17. My God will cast them away because they did not obey him. My God will cast them away. God will judge you, and he will. He will cast them away because they did not obey him. A chronic case of disobedience may reveal not just a rebellious heart, but an unbelieving one. The Hebrews who died in the wilderness, wandering, refused to obey because of unbelief. You know, that's something. You know what faith is and believing is? Believing is just faith. I believe. I have faith. I believe in God. I believe that God is good. I have faith. I believe him. I believe in his word. God is a good God. And all we have to do is obey. That's all he's asking. It's for us to obey. And if we do that, then we are in the will of God. And his will is always good toward his children. God said he loves us while we were yet sinful in our own sin. God still loved us. And he sent Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life. He gave his life while we were yet sinners. Hosea 10:8. They shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. Jesus quoted this verse in as the Romans led him away to be crucified. And John alerts to it in a future sense of divine judgment. How much better to call on God than on the tools of his judgment? No, you don't want to fall into God's judgment. You want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't want to come into his judgment. And like I said before, and I'll say again, he gives you chance after chance after chance. God is merciful. God is kind. God is a good God. But he will judge us. You know, he will send judgment. Just like on Solomon and Gomorrah, they were judged. And the woman who looked back, turned to a pillar of salt, God will judge you. I mean, he's patient, he's kind, but he will send his judgment. Hosea 10:13. You have eaten the feast of lies because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. God wants us to develop both our minds and our relationships, but he never wants us to put our hope for the future in either one. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. God wants us to trust him, just like David did. David was a 17-year-old shepherd boy who went up against Goliath. And you know what? He trusted God. Goliath was 6'8" or 6'7". He was, can you imagine, a 17-year-old shepherd boy going up against a giant. But he trusted God. And he did. He went up against him with 5 smooth stones. But he trusted God. And when he threw that stone, it hit the giant in the forehead. And the power of Almighty God made that giant fall down before a 17-year-old shepherd boy. And then David took off. He took a sword and cut off his head. All we got to do is obey God like David did. Obey God like Abraham. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he was obeying God. And Moses, look at Moses. Moses didn't want to obey God. He really didn't, because he told God, look, God, you find somebody else. I stutter, and I'm not a man of good speech. I can't talk plain. He said, God, please send somebody else, not me. But in the end, Moses, the lawgiver, Moses, the Ten Commandments, Moses pardoned the Red Sea. In the end, it's best to obey God, and Moses did. God told Moses to speak to the rock, and Moses struck the rock. But in the end, Moses obeyed God. He did. And Gideon, I think about Gideon. Gideon said, no, God, I'm the smallest person in my clan. You know, send somebody else. And that's the thing. We don't want to do what God tells us to do. But in the end, Gideon, he obeyed God. He did exactly what God told him to do. When God said that I'm with you, I'll go with you. He said, I'll be with you even when your hair turns gray. And right now at 80 years old, I got gray hair. He said, I am with you. Not only with you, he's in you. And if God be for you, it doesn't matter who is against you because God is for you. Gideon, in the end, obeyed God. And that's what we have to do. Children of God, God's saints, we have to obey God. We have to do what God tells us to do. It's just like Pastor Jessie, when he told her to come to Springfield. You know, she left the family, her sisters, the children. She left everything that she was used to obey God. She was at Abundant Faith. And God told her, go and start a church. And she did. She obeyed God. She heard the voice of God and obeyed God. And that's why we have Table of Life Ministries, because our pastor obeyed God. She did exactly what God told her to do, start a church, leave Abundant Faith. You know, when you step out in faith, if you know that you hear the voice of God, and God is telling you to do this, I was at a church. Then you should do it. I was at a church in Los Angeles. And God told me, turn to the person behind you, hold their hands, and pray for them. And I knew it was God. So I did exactly that. And the woman said, why did you do that? I said, because God told me to pray for you. And she said that was exactly. See, God uses people. He uses his children. He uses us. She said that was exactly what she needed, was that prayer. God uses us. He uses children. And when he uses you, the people that you minister to, they know that they know that they know it was from God. Even a child. God can use a young person. He can use a child. He can use a donkey because he's God. Is there anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for our God. So when you hear the voice of God, step out. Now, it took me a long time before I stepped out and became a minister. I mean, I heard God, and I knew what God wanted, but God allow me to live. And then I stepped out. I said, God wants me to speak his word. And I started speaking his word. You know, in my family, the ladies, Janice, Rita, me, when we were, you know, me and Janice used to go to Abundant Faith, and we were so quiet. We'd have nothing to say. We would listen. When Elder Walton would tell me to teach Bible study, you're right. Because I didn't have anything to say. So, but, you know, I was obedient. We need to obey. We need to obey and step out. God will, just like with Moses, even with Gideon, even when you think you can't do something, try. Just try. And if you try, God is there. He will enable you to do what you think you can't do. We need to trust God. We need to obey and trust God and be obedient. God is just good, and he's good all the time. He is good all the time. all the time. Hosea, Life Lessons 11 and 13. I told Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. God healed Ephraim over and over and over again, even when his people disobeyed, even when they lacked the sense to recognize his loving hand. How has God healed you? Where do you recognize his hand in your life? It said a lot of times, something told me, or something did this, or something helped me. Something. That's something that's nobody but God Almighty. He said, God healed Ephraim over and over, even when they lacked the sense to recognize his loving hand. A lot of times God is doing things in our lives and he's helping us, and we lack the sense to recognize his loving hand. Hosea 11 and 4, I drew them with a gentle cord, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. God prefers to deal with his people in love and grace. He don't want to deal with us in anger. He don't. He prefers to deal with his people in love and grace, not in anger and judgment. Sometimes, however, it is not that very tenderness that allows us to forget how seriously God takes our relationship with him. You know, it's amazing. He's God, but yet and still, each and every one of us, when we call on the name of our God, he can hear everybody. I mean, I find that to be totally amazing that God can hear everybody at the same time and answer prayers at the same time with everybody. God, life example, Hosea 11, 8 and 9. Without questioning God, Hosea obeyed him and took the prostitute Gomer to be his wife, though she wandered and repeatedly slipped into unfaithfulness. Hosea obeyed the Lord and did not cast her away. Now, that's really something, that he took a prostitute who had three children on him, and he obeyed God. The moving poetry of Hosea reveals the longing of God for intimacy with his people. Can you feel the words of agony in the following words? How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart churns with me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. God, you know, he's angry, but he said, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. God longs for an intimate relationship with you. He'll do anything to get your love, and he did. He provided his son, Jesus Christ, as means to make such fellowship possible. God is passionate and faithful, lover of your soul. God is the lover of your soul. Life lesson, Hosea 12 and 6. By the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. God wants to partner with us in everything, including those times when we need to repent. He actually helps us return to him. Without his help, we could not show mercy or provide justice or even wait for him. God wants to partner with us in everything, everything, including those times when we need to repent. We do need to repent. And when we do repent, God will forgive us. He will. God is a good God. He's good. He's good. He is good. God is just a great God. Whew, when I think about God, how mighty. He said, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. The trees, they breathe. The birds of the field, they breathe. Let everything and everybody praise ye the Lord. Not Buddha. Praise God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, he died on the cross. He died. He gave his life Would you give your life for someone else? I don't think I would. Maybe, no, I just don't think I would do it. Give my life, I want to continue to live. But Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life so that we might live. The flesh, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he said it three different times. The flesh did not want to die, but Jesus died on the cross so that we might live. You know, this is the most beautiful time of year. Christmas is my favorite season because this is the time that we have set aside for his birthday, December the 25th. And, you know, during the Christmas holiday, it just seems like everybody speaks to people and people are more nicer. And God is saying, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. And Mary, don't you know that your baby boy have set us free. That's if we believe. I mean, Christmas is just, I don't know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful time. People decorate and they say Merry Christmas. And I don't know, look like people become kinder during the holiday season. The people that I have encountered, you know, they're just nicer. And this is really a beautiful time of year. God is just a great God. And we set this day aside, December the 25th, to celebrate his birth. Because we know that he's here, that he's with us. God is just wonderful. I love the Lord. And I hope you do too. God is great. He's a great God. Whew. There's nobody like our God. Nobody. Nobody in the whole world is like God. He's good, and he's mightier than the waves of the ocean. Mightier than the waves of the ocean is his love for us. Wow. I just love the Lord, and I thank and praise him for this day. Or, you know, he didn't have to wake us up. A clock don't wake you up. No, God wakes you up. You can set your clock and it can go off, but it's really God who wakes you up and lets you start another day. It's not a clock that wakes you up. It's God. And, you know, a lot of times when you go to the doctor and the doctor give you medication and tell you to take this and tell you to take that and you get better, it's not because of the medicine that's making you better. It's because God is healing you. It's God. God is doing this. It's God. It's always God. God is everything. God is everywhere. And he's everything. He is everything. God made the heaven. God made the earth. The earth is his footstool. And we are the children of the Most High God. And I thank and praise him. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to your name. We praise you, for you are the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They say hallelujah is the highest praise. So I give him the highest praise. God is just good. He's good, and he's good all the time. And all the time, he is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. I can't find the word from Carolyn. Pastor, are you there?
I have it. I am here, and thank you so much, Mother Valerie. I just wanted to go into a psalm, what the Bible says. And Mother has been really hitting on some things. It says living in the center of God's will. And, you know, it's so hard when you have God's will, because God's will can be hard. But when God gave me the word for this morning, you know, and it was love. God loves us through our good and bad. He gave us his son. And when we think about living in his will, it says, in the psalm, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. The of what created us in our mother's womb, he knitted us. And in your book, they all were written the days of fashion for me, when as yet there were none of them. Our three-in-one God has the right to plan our lives because of who he is and what he has. As creator, he has fashioned us in the womb. As sustainer, he causes our hearts to beat and our bodies to function. Jesus is our redeemer who released us from bondage to sin. He purchased our freedom with his shed blood. He is the Savior who rescued us from an eternity of punishment. He is our counsel from whom we receive wisdom and understanding. Jesus is also our guide who directs us perfectly since he sees all. As our provider, he knows what is best for us in every situation and gives us just what we need. Yet throughout history, many have chosen to resist to fear. For example, the unbelieving and fearful Israelites turned away from entering the promised land. There's the opportunity to go in. They listened to the king instead of the king. King Solomon disregarded God's instructions about marriage, married a whole bunch of pagan wives, and became discontented. It's all. And it seems like Solomon became like, whatever. And Jonah received the witness to Nineveh. God allowed them to rebel, but he also let them suffer the consequences. And then the Lord pressured them to return to him. Israel made a 40-year detour before arriving back where they started. King Solomon found life meaningless apart from God and was attacked by enemies. And Jonah landed in a fish's belly before repenting and obeying the Lord. A life that breathes honor and glory to God is surrendered life. It is one which operates in the center of his will. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Won't you spend your remaining days discovering the good works God has for you to do and walking in his will for you? You'll certainly never regret it. And so, Mother, thank you so much for that beautiful word this morning. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ. Mother was talking about faith. And Sister Carolyn felt it in the spirit as well. And it says, faith is not believing that God can. It is knowing that God will. Have a faith-filled Friday, family. Please continue to keep me in prayer. God knows that I guess I just needed to rest. And he does this to me when I need to rest. He lets me know it. So thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Mother Valley, for a wonderful word in the Lord on this Old Testament. Friday, come back and join me on Sunday, God willing. A New Testament Sunday. God is so good, and I'm just so grateful to be able to come before you, Mother Valerie and I, this week. Please join us next week as we move forward in the Word of God. Thank you so much. God bless you all. May the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. For God is good, and it's been good forever and ever. Mother Valerie, it's a wrap. Thank you so much.
It's a wrap.
For being here today.
Love you.
covering and doing a great job. God bless you.
Yes.
I send hugs from across the miles and across town, from the east side to the west side, sending much love and many hugs, because I can't do it in the physical. But I thank you, it's all in the spiritual. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend. And just keep lifting each other up. It's all about love, because God loved us first. And all you ask of us is to love each other, because it is God who gave His Son. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.